A little uptick in Kings on the Noosh and a dastardly wait for action elsewhere. It's June 29th. The total run stands a little past 7 million. I'm Dave Benninger. Thanks for having us on board tonight. Coming up, Jason Dye talks Noosh King management from the sports fish side of things.
It's kind of remained somewhat steady and then increased a little yesterday, as we said, and things are looking a little better now. So I think at this point, we're not planning on taking any action this week. There certainly still is the possibility of further action next week.
Plus, we have the latest genetic compositions from Port Moeller catches. We'll check out a new floating processor being built in Sitka to buy salmon here in the bay next year. And a lower combine set netter chimes in to say things have slowed up a bit out there.
Now it's just kind of died off the last couple of days. Most of the tides have been pulling out like a couple of fish here and there. So it's, pretty sparse.
That and more on KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report tonight.
Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS.
Catch this program nightly at 6:10 and 2 a.m. We sneak one in on the FM channel as well and post all of our episodes at kdlg.org. And a special hello to those of you following the fishery from afar by listening in online. It was good to hear from many of you today by email. Let's summarize the run by the numbers through the June 28 catch and escapement tally. Yesterday, harvest in Bristol Bay, 334,000 sockeye total, most of that coming from the Nooshigak. That puts the bay-wide catch this season just past 5 million sockeye out of a preseason forecast of 27 million and some change. Total escapement yesterday was 154,000 fish, and the total run, including in-river estimates, is now 7.328 million fish out of a preseason forecast of 41.5. Broken down by district, no catch reported in Ugashik again yesterday. Cumulative there still stands at 140,000 sockeye for the harvest. Ugashik River escapement was just 24 sockeye on its second day of counting. Total still less than 200 fish. In-river estimate is 10,000. District total run right now, 150,000 sockeye. Igigig District catch not reported any on Wednesday. 1.4 million is the season total catch in Igigig. Igigig River escapement was 1,500 on Wednesday. Cumulative on the season, 198,000. In-river estimate of 15,000 fish. Season total to the district, 1.6 million sockeye. Naknek Quijack a little slow there in their second day of open opportunity off the weekly schedule Wednesday. 16,000 sockeye posted as the catch. Season total, 95,000. Escapement to the Naknek River was 27,000 sockeye on Wednesday. Season total there now, 57,300. Quijack River escapement, just a couple hundred fish. Season total still less than 2,000. Nooshigak River catch dropped off just a bit from the days prior. 315,000 was the tally. 3.34 million is now the season total in the Nooshigak District, double nearest competitor of Igigik. Escapement to the Nooshigak Rivers, starting with the Nooshigak, 58,800 sockeye counted past the Portage Creek sonar Wednesday. That pushes the season total to 997,000, almost 100,000 past the top end of the goal for the Nooshigak River. 8,800 kings were counted past the Portage Creek sonar, bringing the season total to 32,500 out of an in-river estimate of, or in-river goal, rather, of 95,000. Wood River count on Wednesday was 54,054 fish, season total 978,000. Igushik River count on Wednesday was 12,500 sockeye past the tower, season total 73,000. And last but not least, Togiak reported 3,000 fish caught on Wednesday, season total 21,100. Togiak Tower has not started counting fish yet. Season total to the district is 21,100. Again, the total harvest so far this season in Bristol Bay, 5 million sockeye, and the total run, 7.3 million. Average drift per delivery, average delivery size per drift sockeye, Nooshiegak leading the way yesterday, 423 fish, Naknek, or rather Togiak with 91, Naknek Kwejak with 62. Let's look briefly at the allocations. Nooshiegak in play at this point. The Nooshiegak drifters accounting for 79.2% of the harvest in the district. Nooshiegak set accounting for 18.5%. Igooshik set 2.3%. The district is managed for 74 drift, 20 to the Nooshiegak set netters, and 6 to the Igooshik set netters. Vessel registrations. Beginning with Ugashik, 191 permits as of 9 a.m. this morning, expected to go to 198. That's on 140 vessels, climbing to 147 in 48 hours, 51 D-boats. Igigik, 466 permits, climbing by 3 in 48 hours, on 360 vessels, going to 362, 106 D-boats. Naknek Kwejak, 273 permits, climbing to 307 in 48 hours. That's on 243 vessels, going to 270 vessels in 2 days, 30 D-boats. Nooshiegak, still the largest fleet out there by a wide margin. 637 permits are registered in the district, climbing to 652 in 48 hours. That's on 490 vessels, going to 501 in 48 hours, 147 D-boats fishing. And in Togiak, 37 permits registered on 37 vessels. Port Muller catches just in here this evening in time for our 6 o'clock broadcast. Big catches posted today, biggest yet so far. The daily catch index is 60. That's 110 sockeye in the 4.5 and 90 in the 5 1/8. Here are your raw counts from today's catches at Port Muller. Station 2, 0 and 5, total of 5. Station 4, 19 in the 4.5 and 12 in the 5 1/8. Station 6, 6 and 11. Station 8, 16 and 10. Another big day at Station 10. Port Muller reporting 69 fish in the smaller mesh and 51 in the bigger. Looks like that net was fished for 57 minutes, well past the standard 20. Station 12, 0 and 1. Station 14 was fished again the furthest offshore station, posting 2 fish in the smaller mesh and 12 in the larger mesh. Email in from Dr. Scott Rayborn saying yesterday the crew probed at Station 15, which produced a sizable index. The run seems to still be building at Port Muller, he says. No interpretation offered just yet. We do have genetics in from the Port Muller catch from June 26 and 27. A total of 190 fish were sampled. Here's a breakdown of those in descending order. Igigik River fish accounting for 31% of that sample. Nooshiegak, 21%. Ugashik, an uptick at 20%. Wood River down to 10%. Kwejak, a little increase, so showing there at 6%. Naknek River, 5.5%. North Peninsula, 4%. 2% of those catches to the Alagnak River, and fractions of a percent to Igooshik, Togiak, and Kuskokwim. Again, those figures are based on the genetic sampling of 190 salmon that were caught at Port Muller between June 26th and 27th. That's last Monday and Tuesday. A little bit further out, Area M had an okay day yesterday, landing 223,000 total and 263,000 pinks. On the north side, there were 135,000 sockeye landed between the Bear River and Outer Port Hyden districts and 8,000 from Nelson Lagoon. Upper sections there have landed 815,000 sockeye so far this season. Statewide, there are 10 million sockeye on the books now this summer, with Bristol Bay making up half of that harvest. Forecast this season suggests there will be about 31 million more sockeye landed in Alaska this summer. That is your daily run summary for Thursday, June 29th. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by generous support from Bristol Bay Native Corporation, following a Fish First policy to sustain and promote the economic and cultural value of wild Alaska salmon in the Bristol Bay watershed.
Stay in touch with us at fish@kdlg.org or dave@kdlg.org. Again, it was nice to hear from several of you listening online out there today. We'll have some messages out to the fleet coming up later in the show. Nooshugak kings are managed for 95,000 in river, and as most of our listeners know, and many anglers have figured out, they've been slow to get past the Portage Creek sonar this season. Jason Dye is the area sport fish biologist for Bristol Bay and helps manage the run, which is shared between commercial and subsistence fishermen as well as sports anglers, who are flying in by the hundreds for one of the state's last reliable king runs. Jason joined earlier today to talk over that run and some of his options. Jason, thanks for making time. Good to talk to you today.
Yeah, good to talk to you too.
So a little bit more passage was recorded yesterday. Looked like about 8,000 kings. What are you reading into the numbers, and how does this shape up on a curve? Maybe the curve's just later. I don't know. What do you see?
Right now, yeah, yesterday picked up a little bit. Like you said, we got actually almost 9,000 kings. So that puts us up to just over 32,000 total kings past the sonar since the sonar started counting at the beginning in early June. And so we've been definitely well behind where we want to be all season. We want to, you know, based on the management plan, we want to put 95,000 in river. We were projecting well under 70,000, which the management plan calls for us to take some action on the sport fishery when we're projecting under 70,000. So we did take some action. The bag limits were dropped for large king salmon from 2 per day, 1 over 28, and 4 per year to 1 per day of any size and 2 per year. So we've taken that first step, and since we did that, it's kind of remained somewhat steady and then increased a little yesterday, as we said, and things are looking a little better now. So I think at this point, we're not planning on taking any action this week. There certainly still is a possibility of further action next week, and by further action, I mean likely catch and release or closure. Those are kind of the next two steps down from where we're at right now. That being said, a lot of it's going to depend what kind of passage we have over the next, basically over the long weekend here.
As you look at the curve, the escapement curve of kings, does it look like maybe it's starting a little bit later than it normally would, or does it look like it's small?
Tough to say. This has been a really, really unusual year for a few reasons. There's been a number of confounding factors. First of all, in general, we haven't had the kind of weather we typically need to move kings up the river. And typically a good south or southwest wind here moves kings up the river, and we just haven't had that like we typically do. So that's one kind of confounding factor. It makes us believe that there's still some kings sitting out, you know, in the commercial district or out in the bay. The other confounding factor is the low water upriver and what impact that has exactly on fish movement within the river, you know, and our ability to count them, and what impact it has on, you know, when the fish move into the river. I really don't know for sure, but those are certainly confounding factors, you know, at this time. So it's been a really difficult year to get a grip on what's happening, but I do think it's a little late based on those factors. And so right now, like I say, we're projecting basically where I would keep the regulation status quo for the time being. And if it drops off significantly from where it is now, like I say, there's definitely some possibility of further action on the sport fishery.
a lot of the, or maybe most of the sport fish lodges in the bay start their season up there on the Nooshigak. What are you hearing from them? We've gotten mixed reports that there's been some okay fishing for folks. I guess the sockeye sport fishing was great there that first week for those that couldn't find any kings. But what are you hearing from them? I'm sure they're not too terribly pleased at the moment.
I would say yesterday everyone was pleased. It sounded like fishing was really good yesterday. And there was a couple other select days where passage was higher and fishing was great. I'd say all in all, it's not as bad as I would have expected based on the numbers. I haven't had a ton of complaints from anglers. For the most part, it's been relatively slow. But like I say, maybe not as bad as you would expect with the numbers that we're showing right now. So I'd say all in all, most people think it's been an okay season in terms of the actual catch rates.
Oh, good. Elsewhere in the bay, how are your, let's say, Naknek and Togiak king runs? And just general, how's the rest of the sport fish season shaping up?
It's been shaping up well. You know, the reports we've gotten out of Naknek and we haven't had a whole lot of reports out of Togiak. It's still a little early in Togiak. We'll be making some calls actually today to find out what's going on this week. But you know, the latest reports I have from those places is that there's fish around. Naknek, people said fish showed up a little bit early and fishing's been good. That being said, I don't have a report yet today, so we'll learn a little more today. But I'd say all in all, we haven't had any major issues around the bay other than the Noosh King. So we're keeping a close eye on that for sure. So.
Well, it's a very busy industry that sort of stays hidden to many of us. We see them at the airports coming and going, but we know there's a lot of hustle and bustle up there on our world-famous creeks and streams and tributaries. So hope it's a good season. I know it gets busier for you in July and August and such, and into September, I guess, even. Jason, good to talk to you. Fingers crossed we'll see some good passage over the next couple of days upriver.
Yep, I appreciate it. Thanks, Dave.
My name is Brandon Wald, and I work on the Icy Bay. It is a tender, yeah. Packs 550,000 pounds. We work for Silver Bay.
And tell me about the last couple days. I know we had an opener here.
The last opener was very slow. We only had 15 boats that were in the district, and we took two, and then we were down in Egigik, and we had about a 4,000-pound average, and I think about 30 boats.
Okay. So the Naknek Rejack opener last night was slow.
Yes, it was. There weren't very many boats for Silver Bay in the area. I don't know what the average was and how many boats total.
And how's it been out there, like water-wise?
It was blowing a little bit last night, and it makes it a little difficult for the little boats.
And how long have you been out here?
I've been tending for 10 years, but we started our contract on the 12th of June.
And when are you guys headed back out?
We'll be leaving on the tide this evening.
For the Naknek opener?
We'll be going up to the Nooshigak.
How long will you stay out there?
Oh, we will probably be back possibly within 24 hours. The fishing's quite good up there, so we'll probably bring the fish right back to the plant as soon as we can.
And any thoughts or forecasts for what's to come in the next few days?
We're expecting a big hit this evening. They have an opener. It's open wide so that they have a lot of chance to fish. They've got they pretty much have their escapement so that they're giving the fishermen a lot of chance to fish.
Icy Bay, good to hear from you. Someone else we heard from today, Greg Marksmiller. He and his family fish sites around the Lower Combine in the Nooshigak District and offered a report from the grounds earlier this afternoon.
So we were super busy the first 2 days. It was crazy. And then we got a lull, and there was another school of fish that came in. And, you know, it was super busy those days, too. And then now it's just kind of died off the last couple of days. Most of the tides have been pulling out like a couple fish here and there. So it's pretty sparse. But those first couple days were just crazy. I mean, I think a quarter of our net was sunk at one point, you know. So that was pretty cool.
Compare it to last year. It was either a really good year for set netters in the Nooshigak or just a really, really bad year. What do you think so far in comparison to last year?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can only speak for us on the combine. But last year was very consistent. You know, it was like almost exact same amount of fish every time we went out. And this year it's just been, you know, either feast or famine, just tons of fish or you know, nothing. So, yeah, you know, I think the one thing fishermen always expect is that every year will be different, and this year is different.
Greg, talking to Tim Sands today, he mentioned that when the Wood River hits the midpoint there of right. its escapement, that Wood River could become an optional fishery for those that want to go in. As a set netter, is that something you and your crew will make the move to go do? It can be pretty lucrative up there.
Yeah, you know, my personal opinion is that the Wood River's always been kind of a mess, and I don't like fishing up there. There's a lot of things that aren't really, like, there's a lot of unknowns as far as how people are supposed to fish and things like that. I think it's gotten better over the years, and there's been a lot of a little more of a regulation on it, so that's good. Yeah, it is lucrative. We've done well up there before, and it's, you know, I think that we're interested in going up there if he opens it up.
Well, Greg Marksmiller, set netter at Lower Combine, weighing in today. Greg, good to talk to you. Hope things pick up just a bit here, and hope you guys have a great season. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, really. Take care, Dave.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
We are quickly running out of time for tonight's broadcast. We will bring you the story of the North Line floating seafood processor being built in Sitka with some very cool refrigeration ideas tomorrow on this program. In other fishing news, two people are missing after a vessel capsized in Marmot Bay near Kodiak. According to a press release around 7:30 this morning, watchstanders in Anchorage got the mayday call from a Good Samaritan vessel. The Miss Destiny had toppled following impact from a large wave. The Good Samaritan vessel reported it had rescued the shipmaster and one other person. However, two other people were still reported missing. KMXT in Kodiak saying that was all the information available as of 3:30 this afternoon. North Pacific Fisheries Management Council announced it has a new executive director. Former deputy director David Witherill will be taking over for Chris Oliver, who was promoted to manage fisheries for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The council manages halibut and groundfish in the Gulf of Alaska and along the Aleutian Islands and Bering Sea. Witherill said he is prepared to take over on the job.
Fortunately, my predecessor, Chris Oliver, spent quite a bit of time training me to take over the reins, and he gave me a deep understanding of the type of work and gave me the experience to understand what I was going to get into as executive director someday.
Witherill started working for the council in 1992 as a plan coordinator and has worked on the science and management side of things. He took over the position Monday. We have invited Chris Oliver to be on the program sometime this season. We hope to have him. The U.S. Commerce Department also announced the appointment of 22 new and returning members to the 8 regional fishery management councils that partner with NOAA Fisheries to manage ocean fish stocks. The new and reappointed council members began their 3-year terms on August 12th. New England Council will seat Peter Kendall, Elizabeth Etry, John Papillardo, and Ernest Stockwell. Mid-Atlantic Council will seat Earl Gwynn, Francis Dewey Himmelwright, a friend of ours, Stephen Hines, G. Warren Elliott, and an at-large seat of Laurie Nolan. South Atlantic Council will seat William Brewer and Mark Brown. Caribbean Council will seat Marcus Henke. Gulf Council, Philip Dyskow, Robert Shipp, Gregory Stuns. Pacific Council, Richard Lincoln from Washington and Bradley Pettinger from Oregon. And the North Pacific Council will seat Simon Kineen from Alaska and Kenneth Down from Washington. Western Pacific Council will seat John Gourley and E.O. Mokoma from America Samoa and Edwin Ebisui from Hawaii. A couple of messages to send out to the fleet today. Good to hear from Sherry Monastesi. She sent a note in to Jen and the crew aboard the Magic. First, she says, happy fourth holiday to all on the waters, and here's a poem to Jen and the crew on the Magic. Horizon in the sunset, cast your net, draw it in, a tailspin, salmon teeming, scales gleaming, sun on your smile, cool air while raindrops salt on your skin, tons in the fish bin, safest netting, quickly getting, home to loved ones, hope you like the puns. She says, happy fishing and hope they're running wild. Keep your focus on the internal and breathe. P.S. Grandma is still hanging in there, now on hospice care. Love, Mom. Note in from Melanie Haynes. Shout out to my husband, Captain Kevin Haynes, on the fishing vessel Lori D. Kevin, Melanie says, keep up the great fishing, be safe, and she'll see you soon. If you have messages to the fleet, you can send them to fish or Dave at kdlg.org or give us a call at 842-5281. In sports news, the Seattle Mariners lost 5-4 last night to the Philadelphia Phillies. They also lost the first game of that two-game series, leaving the Mariners just a little bit behind now, 39-41 on the year. They play the Angels tomorrow in Anaheim. 6:07 is the start of a three-game series. In other sports news, the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear New Jersey's appeal to allow sports betting. The state has been sued by professional sports leagues for its sports betting laws. A ruling in the state's favor could lead sports betting expanding in other states. We are overtime. We've got to go. Your marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay waters tonight, north winds of 10 knots, seas 2. Tomorrow, northeast 10, seas 2. Tomorrow night, northwest 10 knots, seas 2. And it looks very similar on Saturday. From Port Hyde to Cape Sarachev, tonight variable 10, seas 2. Tomorrow, north winds of 15 knots, seas 3. Northwest 15, Friday night, seas 3. And Saturday, west winds 15 knots, seas 4. Still pretty calm out there. This show, which airs 7 days a week and is dedicated to covering the greatest salmon fishery on earth, is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters and individual donations from listeners and you, the fishing fleet. With help from the rest of the KDLG News team, I'm Dave Benninger. Good night, good fishing. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.